Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa. And we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we are talking with Jeff Trinary of Kingfisher Farms in Nehalem, and John Newman, chef and owner of Newman's at 988 in Cannon Beach.
Welcome.
So good to have you guys here.
Well, thank you.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves? Why don't we start with Jeff?
I've been farming here for about 20 years. I grew up in Portland and fell in love with the coast as a child. My family came over here all the time, and I love food, and I liked farming, and I like being on the coast because it's such a great place. It's right on the edge, and I've been moving around, doing a lot of things most of my life, and finally settled down here, and grew up in Portland, like I said. My grandmother had a huge garden and a huge chicken operation going on in the city of Portland. And so that really kind of affected my life.
Whereabouts did you grow up in Portland?
Northeast Portland.
Northeast
my
Portland.
Grandmother lived in Lentz, though.
Oh,
At the end of the trolley line.
Yeah.
And my grandfather was a trolley car conductor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you're in Nehalem now, but have you always farmed in Nehalem, or did you? Because didn't you used to be out? Didn't you used to farm out where I am now?
Yeah, I was traveling for quite a while, and I ended up living in Europe. And when I came back, the first place I rented was in Olney.
Yeah.
And rented this really nice farm, 35 acres, and tried my first hand at farming there. And had a miserable experience.
It rained too much?
Yeah, there was too many slugs.
It's pretty wet out there, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't know what I was doing. Uh-huh. I had no idea, really. Yeah. I had an idea in my head about what I wanted to do, but I really hadn't educated myself in the tasks that it takes to actually pull off a crop.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll come back to that, won't we?
Oh, yeah.
We know you've figured this out.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little about yourself, John?
Sure, happy to. Well, I have a restaurant in Cannon Beach called Newman's at 988, and we just celebrated 5 years being open.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty cool. Living the dream, actually. I always wanted to be my own boss and have my own restaurant, and living on the coast is just unbelievable. In Oregon, the bounty of ingredients and stuff, it's a chef's dream.
And so, you're a surfer too, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep that quiet though. There's, you know, heavy localism around here, but anyway, that'll be another topic.
Okay.
But been working with Jeff ever since I moved to town. That was back in 98, and I was working at the Stephanie Inn, and just started cooking as a young kid, really out of necessity, and then always wanted to be a chef. And I had a real unconventional upbringing, gypsy lifestyle, moving all around the country, and then I landed a job when I was in 10th grade in a steakhouse, and from there I realized I could actually eat at work and, you know, live in towns where there's good waves, and then, you know, do that type of creativity of cooking food and producing it, and then the feedback you get, and then once I graduated from cooking school, I realized the responsibility that you have as a person in the business. It's goes beyond just cooking food, you know. It's what you're doing with your hands and how you're buying food and what your philosophy is on the whole.
Well, and I think it was not too long ago, a couple of years ago, when we were starting the Cannon Beach Food Pantry, where you actually were really welcoming to that idea. And you've always done a lot of community things that support others in the community, which is really appreciated.
Yeah, you know, when it's all said and done, you want to think back and think that you're responsible and you did a good job and tried our hardest and you made a difference, and what you did was good for the, you know, the good for the local town you live in and beyond that, and you support charities, and it's, you know, it's good, it's good stewardship of the blessing that you have to be doing what you're doing.
It is. Yeah. It is. We're lucky here on the North Coast. Yeah.
Did the two of you start working together? So you met Jeff at the Stephanie Inn when you were working there. Had you been selling to restaurants before that?
Yeah.
Was that the main part of your business at that point?
Well, I was doing a lot of farmers markets in the beginning, and knocking on a lot of restaurant doors, trying to get accounts. And in the beginning, it's really hard to like knock on somebody's door if they don't know you, and you might not have a product in hand. And you come saying, "Well, I can deliver this," but they don't know you. And and John had faith, and we fell in love with each other.
None of this kissing here.
But John has been really great to work with because he's also a friend. Our friendship has grown over the years, doing business with each other, and I like his philosophy in the kitchen, and I just like him as a person anyway.
Yeah, it was cool working with Jeff just because, I went out to his farm and, you know, we're checking it out. Just as a man, he's just growing great stuff. He's got a passion for what he's doing, and, it's a cliche term, but it's true. And the product he's producing, he really could tell he puts his heart into it. And we worked out a good situation, I think, because I would depend on Jeff to bring me stuff and then work with it, you know, and try to keep the pressure off of him to try and, you know, box him into certain items and stuff. I realized that it's better to allow him to do his thing and then present me with stuff, and then I can use my creativity to utilize it versus, Jeff, where's my arugula? It's on the menu, blah, 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 you know,
right,
that type of thing.
Right.
Do you think that's one of the biggest challenges for restaurants buying from local farms, is that kind of unpredictability of...
It is. I mean, over the years, if you think about it, and you're living in this area, the it's uncertainty of the weather and the conditions, it creates a situation where, you know, he's maybe not able to produce some things. So I can when I've known him so many years now, I know generally what he's going to be able to give me, and I can focus and depend on that and within a certain time frame. So I've learned to be smart in that way, and when he bonuses me out with something else, you know, bringing some green garlic and some other stuff that's new, then I can incorporate that in and kind of talk to him about supply, and it usually works out better that way than you know. But that's a different philosophy than some folks, because it's not as, they may not have as much leeway, and they may be boxed into a certain dish, and then you got to compromise somewhere. So
Do you make suggestions to Jeff, like what you would like to see him growing? I mean, are you kind of a co-producer in that respect?
Well, probably could do a better job at that, but I take visits to his farm always within certain times of the year, and so he'll be sharing with me, and so I can kind of anticipate what's going to be coming out of the ground. And really, a lot of times in the peak of the season, I mean, it's he's got such a variety and so much stuff. It's hard to get a handle on all that and actually utilize it to the best that you can, because it's such a great variety. But, yeah, you know, he talked about the arugula that grows in the cracks of the streets in Rome.
Right.
And so that's the type of thing that I definitely love that and work with him on it. And we use that to, you know, market our dinners in New York when we go back to the Beard House. And that type
of thing. So we have to talk about the James Beard House,
Yes, we shall.
Yeah, that's good.
How did that start? How did you get invited to do that? And
well, part of it is one of my goals. You know, I want to be the best that I can be. And, you know, the James Beard Foundation is a measuring stick for that. And so as a chef in the business, I have an ambition in that way. And so when you... I've been affiliated. I was invited to the Beard House with some other chefs in Portland, and then you get to know the folks there. And then there's a criteria they use to choose you, of course, so you're a legitimate restaurant. And then if you can contact them and ask them for, you know, availability, then, you know, you get on the radar, so to speak. You kind of get in the momentum. You kiss their butt and they'll take care of you.
So
hey, now.
When were you back there? Was that this past summer?
We were there a couple years. Well, we didn't go last year. So we're going in September.
Okay.
So, and this is a special dinner that the James Beard Foundation puts on in New York?
Right. It's at the James Beard House, which is in New York. And if you're familiar with him, he had a house in Gearhart, grew up in Portland. Yeah. So he's very well known here. So what what that is we take a picture of the North Coast food scene, uh-huh. and we plant it in the city.
That's so great.
So we transport all the food and the wines and an experience for people to come into the James Beard House in New York and enjoy. So that's really a synopsis.
That's so
of it.
Fabulous.
Are you one of the only chefs that brings your own personal farmer, or is that more trendy now?
Well, it's trendy, but I brought the farmer, and then I brought the guy. Last time we brought the guy was growing truffles. From Eugene,
uh-huh.
Jim Wells. He's a truffle farmer, so we had him, and we got a guy in a Walnut City Wine Works, a local wine guy from Cannon Beach. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's obviously that's that's important to be, So he's big on the menu too with the products. We were actually talking when we were in Seattle recently about the menu and stuff. So,
how many people are at this dinner? How many people are you serving?
It used to serve 92 people.
Whoa.
They decreased it because it was too packed out. Now it's about 83.
And are those tickets available? I mean, they must be sold out way in advance.
They get sold out pretty quick, particularly because everybody loves Oregon.
Sure.
They realize what we have here and in regards to food and beauty, and they want to go experience that at the place. So it's a mixture of New York folks and a lot of folks actually from Oregon come.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, so what did you guys fix for dinner back there?
To represent Oregon.
Yes.
Well,
the North Coast.
Right at the last minute, it was really interesting. We were scrambling to find some really cool things, and we actually went out and picked some huckleberries right at the last moment.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was awesome. We were right down from his house. There was the huckleberry trees right down from his house, so we incorporated that into the demi-glace, which we serve with Oregon lamb.
Oh, nice.
So the huckleberry demi-glace. That was so special. I mean, you picking the huckleberries. And so in that time, there is an abundance of ingredients. So typically we're doing some salad that he's got and some arugula mix. You know, we do some specialty items and we'll have a fish course. And
cheese,
Oregon cheeses.
Oregon cheeses.
Yep, Oregon cheeses. And so, I mean, it's pretty much everything Oregon. And then pairing them with wines, and all of the produce, and most, if not all of the produce, and he had basil. He was growing some fresh herbs for me. Mm-hmm. All that is coming from Jeff.
Wow, it sounds fantastic. We're going to take a quick little station break. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and streaming live at coastradio.org. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Jeff Trenary. Did I say that right? Still, I don't say it right.
We got closer.
Okay, all right. And John Newman.
So I'm really curious to know, I mean, we talk a lot of different food producers and different chefs on the show here, and we always ask about sharing a recipe. What do you like to do with the food that Jeff grows? Jeff, how do you like to cook things? And kind of what's in season now? What are you cooking now?
Let's hear what's in season right now.
And I know this is a tough time of year because there's not much going on.
Well, the only thing we're harvesting outside right now is kale and chard. The rest of what we're producing right now is coming out of greenhouses, and right now I'm producing a salad mix, a braising mix, arugula, spinach, green garlic, radishes and turnips, and some chicories.
Nice. Oh, okay. So now I get to ask about chicory puntarella, my all-time favorite Kingfisher Farm vegetable, which is like nothing else I've ever quite eaten green-wise.
So puntarella is a very strange-looking vegetable. When it's in its younger stage, it kind of looks like a green pine cone with scales on it and some leaves on the outside. And then as it develops a little further, the pine cone shoots out these long spears, and that's kind of where it gets its nickname, asparagus chicory.
Oh.
And if you were in Rome today, you would see that everywhere at the markets and on the menus. And they take these stems and they chop them into short lengths and they throw them into ice water, and it causes the end of the cut to make this weird curly little thing. and they make a salad with that. Or they take, when it's still in the pine cone stage, they take that and they slice it very thin and they eat it raw. It's very bitter, but it has a very sweet, delicate flavor. And they put a very heavy anchovy garlic egg yolk. It's sort of like a Caesar dressing, but really heavy on the anchovy. And so it's a very intense flavor with this bitter sweetness.
It's kind of addictive. It's very addictive.
Do you mainly eat it? Do you eat it raw?
You eat it raw. Yeah. Most of the ones I have in my greenhouse right now are very small, but we rogued one the other day that got transplanted in the wrong place, and it was huge. And it was like
finding
a jewel. Yeah. And so we made a special night of that one.
I can imagine, yeah. And now Kristen tells me also, I did not know that you have a history of making tofu.
Yes.
Which I've never met anyone that actually makes tofu. I didn't think that was something you could do at home. Where did you learn how to do that?
I spent about 10 years being a vegetarian, and I was into macrobiotics, which is basically eating local in season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And tofu is a product that has a lot of good nutrients in it, vegetable source, of course, mm-hmm. and very lovely texture. It can be very firm. It can be very silky, depending on how firm you pack it in its mold. But it's very unique thing that can be used so many different ways. Yeah. Soups or sandwiches or scrambled with veggies, you know.
And it's really different when you've made it yourself versus what you buy in the store.
Yeah, I mean, you can buy some really good quality tofu around, but when you make it yourself, it has that special ingredient of your own.
Yeah. So we just know that when you finally teach your on-farm how to make tofu class, we are both signing up for that. It's really, really cool.
So what are you fixing right now from on your restaurant menu, John? And do you have anything from Jeff that you're using?
Yeah, well, all of the above, which he stated as far as what he's bringing on a weekly basis. One of the nice things he's got going is the green garlic, we've done a couple of different applications. One of them is we make a pesto with that, and then we brush that onto some fresh fish. The spring chinook and halibut's just coming into season, and then we've grilled those too as a vegetable with olive oil, salt, and pepper.
Great.
So delicious, really simple, but smoky from the grill, and that's really wonderful. And then using the spinach and the arugula and some pestos as well, and then a salad. That great salad, a mixture. Some of the young arugula was a little on the bitter side, and so we mixed that with some of the salad and dressed that with a balsamic vinegar, some Dungeness crab, goat cheese. It's really, really, it's just his ingredients are so great. Don't overdeal with them.
Right.
Just lightly seasoned and lightly dressed, and let the flavors come out. You know, the turnips and radishes. We saute those, or we just take some radishes with a little bit of butter. Which is kind of a European style.
A little bit of sea salt.
Yeah, exactly. And, the braising mix is one of our standard dishes that we use for our lamb. And we braise that with a little bit of butter and garlic and salt, pepper.
And what kind of kale? Are you using some kale?
Yeah, the braising mix right now has three kales, Italian, green, and Russian kale. And then it's got several different chards and three different chicories. So it's got a sweet side to it and a little bit of a bitter side to it.
Oh, it sounds really great.
Yeah. It sparks up with a little balsamic vinegar really well.
Yeah, you know, we've been using that saba. You ever use saba? It's almost that syrupy, almost like a condensed balsamic vinegar. And it goes so well on kale or braised greens.
How long do you braise your greens for?
Just very lightly?
Just very lightly. Just enough to soften the tenderest of the kales in it.
Yeah.
And then the chicories, they soften really quickly, and we eat that almost every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, grilling the chicory is good too, like char grilling it with a little bit of a balsamic vinegar and some pancetta. And then he had a squash, a Chioga squash I was telling you about, a gnocchi.
Right.
That was we served that with a kind of a soup with some brothy from the squash, Chioga squash broth, Italian sausage, the gnocchi, spinach, and walnuts. Oh, it was man. It's really that dish. I'm gonna probably put that on the menu eventually.
That sounds fabulous.
So you're going to be growing more chaga squash.
He scooped out the seeds of it, so it'll be a generational chaga squash dish.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
So when do you change your menu, like how often?
I mean, we do 3 or 4 times a year of menu change with the seasons, you know, just anticipate what's coming up and try and be, putting that stuff on the menu. Whatever's in season and coming up that's going to be fresh and local as much as possible, that's what we're doing. So it's sometimes 3, sometimes 4.
That sounds great. You know, one thing we typically talk about are some of the challenges in being both restaurants and farms on the coast. And I remember a couple of years ago, Jeff, when you and Nicole were in wetsuits, weren't you, swimming through your greenhouses?
A few years ago, it was the first year that we were trying to have a full winter CSA, and we had all of our greenhouses planted in bountiful crops, and then we had a big flood, and we had about 3 to 4 foot of water inside the greenhouses, and so we put on our wetsuits and got surfboards and paddled around through the greenhouses.
You gotta really enjoy life.
And it was really amazing because the way that the field floods, it doesn't just rush in, it kind of backs in, eddies in, but that day there was hundreds of salmon swimming around in the field. And I thought, oh, the water's going to go down and those salmon are going to be left here.
Fertilizer.
I was thinking, you know, dinner. Salmon to eat. Dinner.
There you go.
But then the next morning, you know, or a day or so later, we went down there and there was no fish. And we don't know how they actually got out from the field. I've seen salmon, you know, scoot across bare rocks. So I'm sure that they were like scooting through the mud trying to get. And there weren't any tracks from raccoons. So I know the coons didn't get them.
Whoa. They exited slowly.
Yes.
So this year's weather?
This year, I don't know if anybody knows, but, you know, we haven't hit 60 degrees in quite a while.
Yeah.
And it's like a record-breaking low temperatures we're having. Mm-hmm. Very similar to last year at this time. And I'm really hoping we don't have a repeat of last year. But there's a really good possibility that we'll have a spring just like last year. This whole global warming thing, when I first heard about that, I thought, oh, yeah, we're going to turn into, like, California up here.
That's not happening.
But that's not what's going to happen. We're going to have more weather like we're having right now.
Yeah.
And it's going to make it more difficult to try to farm locally. It's challenging. It has been challenging, and now it's becoming more challenging.
And it's the same thing for restaurants, isn't it, with the weather at the beach and...
Yeah, it's the tsunami and it's we're indirectly affected by it, but it's things that happen globally affect us and it's the most awesome thing I've ever done to open a restaurant, but it's the most difficult too because all consuming and constantly being in tune to what's going on. And you know, like the floods in Australia a month or so ago have doubled the price of if you were going to buy that lamb. But that's a picture of what really happens, you know. And then, you know, it's just it's always being, you know, in tune to what's going on with that, and it's a challenge.
Yeah. So given all the challenges, what makes you guys keep doing it here? I mean,
I like to go to work in my shorts and tank top and be able to go play some ball or surf when I want. And then if he comes over, we'll have a little wine and cheese. That's nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's the good part.
I don't have to ask my boss. I'm going to do it because I'm the boss. You know, so.
And I'm in the same boat, too. So.
Yeah.
But it is very challenging.
Yeah. And you've seen a lot of seasons here on the coast. I mean, because you've been farming here for a long time. So think about the perspective that you have about what the weather might be like this time of year, what you can expect to be germinating now. And, you know, if you're saying you're seeing it pretty cold and unusual.
Yeah. 10 years ago, I remember being outside at this time of the year stringing peas and having shorts on and a T-shirt. And it's definitely not like
it's
that.
It's not right like now. That right it's now. Not. No, know, it's and, not. Yeah.
You know, and then I, right now I'm in business because I have a lot of greenhouses. And yeah. I have just over 3/4 of an acre of greenhouses. And last year, if I had not have had those greenhouses, I probably would have been out of business because we didn't harvest anything from outside until the middle of June.
Yeah.
And normally we start harvesting stuff outside in May. And, you know, so I took a loan and built greenhouses, and I'm really glad I did. And it's made it so that I can keep my employees employed all winter.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And they can be inside the greenhouses working without having to have on rain gear and and slopping through the mud. And and it's warmer in the greenhouses, even on a cold day.
It's really so nice in a greenhouse.
Yeah.
It feels really good. Hey. You know, I want you to, before we wrap up, tell people where they can buy your produce. And I know you do a lot of farmers markets. Mm-hmm. And are you doing a CSA this year?
Yes, I'm doing a CSA. We have a discount up until the 1st of April.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And 10% discount. So if I was to receive your check
tomorrow,
no, postmarked, then I would honor that.
Okay. And how long does your CSA go for? When does it start and when does it end?
We're in Astoria, it starts on Mother's Day.
Okay.
And my other locations, we started the 1st of June.
Okay.
And we go till the middle of October.
Nice.
And we're considering a fall extension this year.
Oh, that'd be great.
Depending on how things work out with the weather and everything. And
is there a phone number people can call?
Yes, they can get me at 503-368-6763.
Great. And John, how about telling people where they can find you?
Well, I'll be chained to the stove at Newman's at 988 Restaurant in Cannon Beach, which is at 988 Hemlock Street in Cannon Beach, right in Midtown there. We serve dinners this time of year every night at 5:30, except for Monday. And then we're open 7 days a week starting July 1st.
Well, thank you both so much for being on our show. Right. We're going to close up right now.
We've got a couple of announcements, though. We'd like to announce a very special event coming up next Friday, April 8th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Blue Scorcher Bakery that will help support local farmers, fishers, and ranchers. It's a fundraiser for the new River People Farmers Market, a food and flower-only market that will be located in the vacant lot next to the Astoria Co-op, and it's going to open mid-June and go through September. It'll take place on Thursdays from 3 to 7 p.m. And the event is we're going to have great food, drink, music, and raffle items and offer people a chance to meet many of our local farmers, fishers, and ranchers and help raise some money to help some of the offset some of the startup costs for the market. So come out and support the new River People's Farmers Market this Friday from 6 to 8 at the Blue Scorcher Bakery. And if you want information about being a vendor or volunteering to help out at the market, that's where you would come and find out about that. And I also want to mention on April 9th at the Fort George Brewery from 6 to 10 p.m., it's a Farm Aid Day, a benefit for Green Angel Gardens in Longview, Washington, to help raise funds to help them offset some financial problems they're having there.
Thank you for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast. This show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org and can be heard this evening at 8:30 p.m. on KCBP 90.9 FM.